Awesome, awesome. Thank you, Megan, for sharing your story with us. My name is Anthony, for those of you who don't know me. I'm the care pastor here, and super excited to be able to continue this series that we launched at the beginning of the new year called Vision. And I know it's Championship Sunday, so congratulations for making it here early. Just by show of hands, who's rooting for the Rams? Okay, all right. Clearly we don't. All right, I'll ask the big question. Who's rooting for the Chiefs? All right. Who's rooting for the Chiefs just because they don't like the Patriots? All right. Who's rooting for the Patriots? All right. And now let's continue. Okay. Just kidding. We welcome everybody here. As you get into the vision here on Sunday. So what have we been talking about? That's a great question. If you haven't been here before, I just want to echo what Justin said. We hope you make yourself feel right at home. We have been engaging in this great conversation called Vision, all about saying to ourselves, you know what, it's not so much about where you are right now, but it's where you are going, and realizing that not only do we have visions for our own life, but that God has a vision for us as well. And week one, we engaged with that, and we walked through that, and we introduced this passage in Romans 8:29, which has kind of been our memory verse for the whole series. And it says, "For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." And so we engage with the fact that, say, listen, God created you with a purpose. He created you with a vision, with a plan in mind. And that plan, as we introduced last week, was to become like his son, Jesus. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't had an opportunity to go back and listen to it, they're available on podcast, they're available on live stream, you can go back. It's an important conversation, because we have to realize what it means to picture that we could become like his son, that we could become like Jesus. And we have to have a good vision of what that's going to be like. And, you know, this series is coming at a pretty important time in my own life. I've been engaging with this thing about vision, about what it means to be somebody. And any week now, or any day now, my wife and I will be welcoming our first child into this world. And thank you. We are super excited and super nervous sometimes. And, you know, my wife is very pregnant, so you guys might be seeing me in person. The other might see me on video. But who knows? But what I'm saying is that we have a vision, and my wife and I were talking about, you know, what is this child going to be, and what is this child going to look like, and what is this child going to do? And so I started to interact with this passage, you know, very personally, that Jesus, as his children, has the same conversation about us, except he knows what we're going to be. And he knows that where we are right now isn't where it ends up. He has a vision for where we're going to be. And where we're going to be is becoming more and more like his son, Jesus. Now, I hope that excites some of you, and maybe some of you over the past few weeks have been engaging with that a little bit and saying, wow, maybe I can be like Jesus. Maybe I can actually become like this person who came to love and to teach truth and to engage with people and to understand that and to grow into who Christ is in my own life. And maybe you're getting excited about that, and you're saying to yourself, okay, well, I can understand that God has a vision for me, and I can understand that vision includes becoming more and more like Jesus Christ, but how do I get there? What are some of the practical steps in order to be able to get there? How do I engage God with this vision? And so while working through this series, we came across this passage that is found in the book of Ephesians. And it's one of my personal favorite passages. The book of Ephesians is a letter that Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote to the church at Ephesus. And he was in Rome in prison at the time of writing this letter. And this letter was circulating to the churches that he had helped plant and these leaders that he had helped build up to remind them of what the church was supposed to be and to remind them what the church was all about. Now, at this time, churches were very small. Most of them were meeting in people's homes. There were 10, 15 people, and he was going back and trying to encourage them and to remind them why we do what we do and who they are and why what the church was meant to be. Now, maybe you're here today, and that word church is, you know, you approach it a little reluctantly. You approach it because maybe you have not had the best experience with that word church, and we've forgotten what the church was meant to be. And that's exactly what the book of Ephesians is all about, trying to get us to understand what the church is for and how it is used in God's vision of us becoming more and more like him. And maybe some of you are here today, reluctantly came in the door. Maybe some of you have reluctantly come in the door. You know, maybe your friends promised you that we had breakfast, and maybe your friends promised you that they can, you know, that you promised at least the music is good. It'll, you know, just come with me, and then we'll go have brunch, and we'll talk about it. But maybe it goes deeper than that. Maybe you have really been hurt by somebody who says that they're a follower of Christ. Maybe somebody said, oh, you've got to read your scriptures, but they become the most meanest people that you've ever met. Or maybe you've encountered some sort of hurt and some sort of pain, and it all has to do with the church. And so it's hard for you to imagine that God has a vision for your life to include these quote-unquote people who are following Christ. Well, the encouragement here is the same encouragement that Paul wrote to this church in Ephesus in 60 AD. He's saying, don't forget why we do what we do. Don't forget who you are, and don't forget what can happen when people who follow Christ become more and more like him. So the passage that we're going to be attacking today is in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. Now, In your app right now, if you go to This Sunday and you click on Sunday Notes, you can follow along in the passages. You can take notes directly on the app as well. We'll also have them above here as well. But it starts off like this. Ephesians 4:11 says, now, these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Okay, so let's unpack this. What is he trying to say? Well, first and foremost, he says Christ has given gifts to the church. Now, the list that he lists here is an exhaustive list, but other places Paul talks about other gifts that is given, and Paul adds that these particular gifts were crucial to the establishment of this first generation church. What does he say? He says things like the apostles. The reason the apostles were so important is because these were eyewitnesses to the resurrection. These were people that actually saw Jesus raised from the dead. And their testimony, their eyewitness accounts, we can revisit in the New Testament, but they were so important to be able to carry on this message of Jesus Christ. Then he says things like prophets. These were people who were helping to, you know, guide and direct the church, especially during the first generation church, because they didn't have access to the New Testament like you and I do. Evangelists, those were people who were just comfortable talking about their faith and going out and letting people know about who Jesus Christ is. And then he says pastors and teachers, those who are guiding and shepherding and taking care of those in the local church and helping to raise up and create other leaders as well. And he says, as pastors, as teachers, these people have been giving gifts to care and to equip the body. And equip them for what? To do the work, to do his work, to serve, and to build up this unity and to build community within the church. But like I said, these gifts are not an exhaustive amount of gifts. These gifts that are listed in other parts of Scripture are gifts that are given to those when they walk into this relationship with Jesus Christ. So if you've said to yourself, I believe who Jesus Christ is, who he says he is, I believe that God sent him to rescue me, and you've walked into this relationship with Jesus, you also have received a gift. Now, these gifts are not for you and you alone. In fact, much of the time, we're not even able to know what these gifts are unless we are in the presence of others. Now, what does that mean? He says this thing called the body of Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul many times equates the local church to being the body of Christ. He's saying, listen, when you're on mission together, when you're using these gifts that's been given to you, when you're using your backgrounds, when you're using your stories, when you're using all of these things, that you are actually creating this body of Christ, whether it's a large Sunday gathering or in your dinner group or when your team meets, something happens when you're all in this together, using your gifts, using your talents, using those things, using your life stories, coming together, something happens. In fact, some of you, it's your story. You might have been some of those people who wanted nothing to do with church. You didn't want to walk into one, but you begrudgingly came in through the door. You heard maybe they have a good kids program. Somebody invited you on Easter, or somebody, you know, you came to one of the larger ones. You didn't really want to come. Maybe somebody tricked you. They said you're going to churches, and you thought chicken, whatever. But you were coming in the door. However you got in here, you came in reluctantly, and you were sitting as close to the door as possible, and you were just waiting for the opportunity to leave. Or maybe you got invited into a dinner group and you started to hear these stories, and you really wanted nothing to do with God, you really wanted nothing to do with Christ, but you're in this conversation with people, you're hearing the music, and something happened. Something happened when you were amongst these people. And you can't explain it. You don't know what happened. Sometimes you find yourself sitting there, you're listening to the music, or you're listening, you know, to one of us talk, and all of a sudden you start crying, and you're like, I don't know why I'm crying. Why am I crying? What is happening? And then you come and talk to us afterwards, and you say, I feel like you were talking right to me. How is that possible? Well, it's possible because God interacts with you that way. When we're in together, when we're in this community together, when we're together using our gifts, and our gifts become known when we're together, something happens. Something happens, and that is because you are creating the body of Christ. This happened when people were in the presence of Jesus all the time. People would encounter Jesus, and then they would come and they tell your friends, and they're like, just come and see, you've got to hear this guy, you've got to talk to this guy. I don't know what it is, but you've got to hear him. And people would come into the presence of God, and something would happen. And because the church is gathered, and working towards that one common mission, God said, you can use these gifts in order to make something happen. And it continues. Why? When does it happen till? He says it in verse 13. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. This is exactly what we've been talking about in Vision. How do we get there? How do we become more and more like Christ? How do we become more and more like His Son? He's saying this is how we get there. When each of us are in the local church, engaging one another and on this mission, that we can become more mature in Christ, what Christ is doing in our lives, and we can become more and more like Him. And here's even more reasons why. He continues in verse 14. Ephesians 4:14, it says, and then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. See, in verse 14, he says, okay, when we're together using our gifts, something happens. And one of the reasons that we do this is so he sends these three ideas. You're like a child, you're like a boat going back and forth in the wind, and then you're able to stand to people who are trying to trick us. And he uses these analogies because he realizes wherever you are in this walk with God, wherever you are in this walk with Christ, whether you've walked into this relationship with her or not, there's so much out there. There's so much out there of people saying, well, this is who Christ is, or this is what the church is all about, or this is that, and this is that. And it's no wonder if you have no foundation, if you have no grounds for what truth actually is, and you're not engaging with people and finding out what the truth is actually is, you can be a child. And it says, like, you know, there's certain things that children don't know any better because of ignorance. When I was a kid, I used to love professional wrestling because I thought it was real. Some of you are like, it's not? No. I broke my little heart. And then he says that there's that sense of the boat being tossed back and forth. And some of you are experiencing this now in this culture. You're like, I don't know, is this right or is that right? You know, you're caught in this wave of the storm and it's hard for you to tell, you know, well, is this truth or is that truth? And then he says also, you know, it's about being, you know, painting these pictures so that we can come together and say, listen, when we're together, when we're engaging in this mission together, we're able to understand, we're able to come together and talk about truth and speak truth in one another's life and build one another up and encourage one another and equip one another and to do it growing in full of love. See, it means that we're all in this together. It means that as the way we get to that place where we're healthy, the way we get to that place where we're growing, the way that we get to engage in this vision and we slowly start to realize who we've become and who we are in Christ is that instead we're going to grow into this community of believers. Jesus is saying, my vision for you doesn't become reality when you're all by yourself. In fact, there's no way to know what your gifts are when you do this all on your own. And then he uses this beautiful picture of a body coming together when all of its parts work. As I get older and older, I start to realize there is so much truth to this. There are things that just don't work anymore. And when I make noise, when I walk down the stairs, I'm like, what is that? What is that creaking? It's not the stairs, it's me. But when something's out of whack, the body's not working as it should. And he's saying the same thing for you. In order for the body to work, right? We all come together engaging in using these gifts in our local church with Christ as the head. And so there's this picture of the body where Christ is the head and then all of us who are in Christ are part of this body making this body work. In order to do that, we have to engage in it together. Now, I know many of you here today are still not convinced. You're perfectly happy just coming in and then listening to the message and then going because of the objections that you have for jumping in. And I talked to many of you and we've come up with a few of the reasons why you might be nervous or reluctant to jump in, to be amongst others, to be in a group or to be on a team because... Well, here's just a few that I've heard. Number one, I don't like people. Well, sometimes neither do I. I mean, have you been around people recently? I mean, some people talk too much, some people talk too little, some people talk smack about people where they're trying not to talk like they're talking smack about people. I mean, you make stupid decisions, you support the wrong people. This is nothing new. Paul was talking to those people as well. I mean, this was such an interesting time, the beginning of the church. For the first time, you had Jewish people and non-Jewish people coming together in these, you know, these small groups from different backgrounds, from different traditions, from different, you know, they had different stories, they had different approaches, they had different reasons that they were looking at each other and they were coming together for the very first time. And yeah, I'm sure some of them didn't care for the other person, right to begin with. That's why he says in Ephesians, the same book, he says this in 4:2, he says, always be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's fault because of your love. There it is again. He's saying, listen, in order to love another person, you're going to have to put them before you. You're going to have to make allowances for each other's faults. He understands that how can we create this unity without being in community? Ooh, that's good. I haven't thought about that. Unity in community. Write that down. But it's true. How can you do that? How can you create unity if you're not in community with one another? How are you ever going to see the point of view with that person if you're not talking it out amongst one another, asking questions, engaging with the other person? This is saying to truly become like Jesus, this tree planted in the streams of waters whose leaf never withers, that is going to have to change. Baby steps. Another reason and this is a completely valid reason, and I don't want to make light of it. You've told me, you said, Anthony, I'm afraid I'm going to get hurt. Yeah. I can almost promise you that. But where in life have we ever grown and there hasn't been some sort of pain? This guy in the gym is always telling me this. I don't know why. I don't know him, but he's just telling me this. He says, you know, there's pain. It's your body growing. I figured this out mostly when I was as a runner. And yes, I am a runner. Shut up. I know what some of you are thinking. You're like, huh? You're like, interesting. How far? Doesn't matter. Part of the thing is I'm doing it. But when you get out there, right, after a long run, longish run for me, you get back home and the next day you're sore. That's your muscles growing. That is your muscles starting to move. And that's exactly what it means to be amongst one another's growth. Yeah, there's going to be some times where you may get hurt. But what pathway towards growth has there not been pain? Jesus experienced this too. And remember, the goal is to becoming more and more like him, more and more like his son, because you're becoming a person of grace and confidence. Another one that I've heard is that it takes work. Absolutely. Oh, I get home and I'm exhausted and I just want to sit at home and you know, eat Doritos and watch The Bachelor. And first off, that's a terrible show. I gotta say, somebody dared me to watch it, and I watched 30 minutes and I started weeping. But anyway, but you gotta understand that. It's like, I don't wanna go out, I wanna stay home. But listen, that's understandable. Because again, what has not been work for you to be able to work towards, to be able to make it worth something? It's going to take work. Becoming a person of more and more like Jesus means you're becoming a person of strength and grit. That's exactly who he was. Another one that they actually told me this week when we were talking about groups was that they don't have anything to offer me. And I said, well, maybe they can teach you humility. And then he was hurt. And listen, I'm going to be honest. This times I've struggled with this too. But I bring back to this passage in Philippians 2:3. It says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others is better than yourself. That's part of what that love is all about. Jesus didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And one of the ways that we can emulate who he is in our life is to love the way that he loved. And he put others before himself all the time. And you may surprise yourself. One of the goals of the gifts of the Spirit is to build that unity among his people. It's an important role of the Holy Spirit. See, he leads, but we must be able and willing to be led. And we do that by focusing on God and not on ourselves. And then another one I hear all the time is, I don't have anything to offer them. There's no part of my story that's going to be of any value. And I love Megan's story, and I don't think it could have been better timed at all to be able to hear it, is that you never know. You never know what your story, what your experiences, what your life is going to be able to bring into the life of somebody else. I've had people who have shared stuff in group that they thought that nobody else went through. And somebody else said, you know what, I've experienced the exact same thing. Maybe you're here today and you have doubts and you have questions and you're not sure about your faith and you're thinking to yourself, well, I can't go into a group because I don't know how I feel about this whole thing. You should totally be in group. You should totally be on a team. You should totally be engaging with one another, with your questions, with your doubts. Because I guarantee you, your story is leading up to this moment. There's no mistake that you're here. There's no mistake that you're listening to this. No mistake that you're tuning in on the podcast or watching on live stream. There's parts of your story that God wants to use to be able to build up others, to be able to equip others, to be able to grow others. And you have no idea what part of your story that is until you start sharing it. We have to stop thinking that God's vision for our lives is so small. I mean, this vision of becoming like Jesus Christ changed the world. And what I love about Paul's letter to the Ephesians is he's saying, listen, he's saying, don't forget who you are. Don't forget who you were created to be. Don't forget that God is working in you at this very moment to make you more and more like his son. And imagine that when we're all in this together, your gifts, my gifts, their gifts, is all coming together because God knew exactly what you needed and when to be able to build up one another so that something happens. Because the more you bring yourself into the body, more people come into the body. And that's what it is. It's Christ at the head of the church. And we're following him. We're becoming more and more like him, becoming full of love, becoming full of grace, speaking truth into one another's lives, equipping one another to go through some of the most difficult times, to care for one another, to fight for one another, to celebrate with one another. Because when we do that, when we who say we follow him because of who he is and we start to understand the truth of who Jesus Christ is, we might be able to rewrite that story for somebody's life. That story of reluctance, that story of scaredness, the story that looks at the church and says, they have nothing for me because of the way they treat one another, because of the way they treat people. And that's exactly what Paul is saying here. Listen, when you are working together, equipping one another, being in life with one another, it is impossible for you to not have that unity in community. So much so that the early church started coming together using their gifts. People started to look into them and saying, what's going on? Why are they so excited? What's happening there? And more people started to lean in and listening to the message and listening to the teachings of Jesus and hearing truth and hearing that they themselves, that God created them with a purpose and God created them with a plan and God knew exactly what he wanted to do with them and he can't wait for them to come back to him so that he can be able to use them to build up this body more and more and more. And maybe, just maybe, we get to see right here today in 2019 what that early church was experiencing. That when you come together and you understand the truth, that you start to grow with each other, that you start to engage with one another, that you start to fight for one another, something happens. And you can't explain it, but it's actually the body of Christ doing what it's supposed to be doing. And that's the vision that we're working towards, and that's how we get there. So if you're here today, and you're scared, if you're here today and you're nervous, or if you're here today and you can't wait to jump in, wherever you are on the spectrum, I want to invite you to engage with him in this moment. I'm actually going to invite the band up right now, and maybe some of you noticed that we didn't have a moment of silence before, because we want to take some moment right now to be able to engage with God, to be able to ask him, where do you want me? The thing I love about Megan's story is she talked all about that local church, that these gifts are to be used right here, right now, for the people. And so maybe during this next time of prayer, you're praying, God, I wanna feel that. I wanna feel that burden for others. I wanna pray that you'll give me the confidence to join a group. Listen, we don't just do dinner groups here because we think they're fun. We don't do dinner groups just because we think it's a good thing to do midweek. We do dinner groups out of obedience of what Christ has called us, that we have to engage in life together in order to be able to build his kingdom. So during this next time of prayer, I'll start us off in prayer. The band will continue to play. quietly behind me. And then I'll say, Father, we pray. And that'll be your opportunity right where you are to just engage with him. If you're not part of a group and you're worried about joining a group, engage him with that. If you're scared about joining a group, engage him with that. If you're already signed up for a group, pray that your gifts will be used for his glory and for his mission, and to be able to love and equip those people that are in your group. Pray for the other people in your group. Pray for those people that haven't already signed up for your group, so that we can come together and see what he can do. Will you pray with me? Father, man, I don't know what it is about today, but something's happening. There are hearts being softened. There are people realizing for the first time that you love them and that you've pursued them and that you've brought them here to say, I can't wait to use you. And there are people here today that are excited to be used. And Father, I pray for those that are nervous or scared or worried. And we take this few precious moments and we give it to you. So, Father, we pray. Father, my prayer is that we don't take this lightly. That we start taking serious steps in order to get there. That we make a commitment right here, right now. That we're no longer living for ourselves, but that we're living to see the world changed. That we're living to bring unity to this community. Father, we thank you. And we can't wait to see what you're going to do. It's all because of Jesus. And it's in his name we pray.